If you've ever wondered about that famous line, this is the way the world ends, this is the way the world ends. In T.S. Eliot's epic poem, The Wasteland, you'll be fascinated by Tracy Letts' 2008 Pulitzer Prize-winning play, August, Osage County, opening March 1st at our own award-winning Civic Theater in Allentown. Winner of 5 Tony Awards, this powerful, wild ride of a play explores a typical yet dysfunctional family who reunite in Oklahoma following the mysterious disappearance of their patriarch. Directed and certainly recreated, I'm sure, by Civic Theater's artistic director, William Sanders, August Osage County combines epic tragedy with black comedy, dramatizing unfulfilled dreams and leaving not one of its 13 characters unscathed. Civic Theater, as you know, has over 80 years of history in producing live stage theater and exceptional national and international art film offerings. This is, of course, WDIY FM 88.1 in Allentown, and you are a part of Lehigh Valley Art Salon, now on the air. I remain George Miller, and along with my wife and co-host Kate Scuffle, we will bang, whimper, and chat today with our good friends and cast members, Pat Kelly and Sue Schneeringer. Welcome, guys.
Hi.
Yeah. Oh, this is great that you're doing this piece. Everybody's kind of in the theater world has held their breath because they knew someone eventually in the Lehigh Valley would be producing this, and I'm so glad it was Civic Theater.
Yeah, what I'm curious because we were talking a little bit before the show when I'm a big Tracy Letts fan, but I'm not as familiar with this piece. I wasn't around when it kind of debuted. I suspect that Bill, just knowing Bill Sanders, he would have probably had his eye on it for a while. Any background on how it came to be in the season or what the process has been of arriving at getting to do the piece?
I really don't know the specifics of that, except that I know that he responded to it very strongly when he saw it in New York, as did I.
Yeah.
And we have a fondness, Bill and I both, William and I both, for Steppenwolf product, and I think that's another enticement for him. He looks at pretty much everything they do, and there's always room in the season for one straight play, a comedy or drama or a combination of both, and so I think this fit the bill rather nicely, and it's a big, large cast, but I have to tell you, it is a huge undertaking. This play is a huge undertaking, and of course, he's risen to the occasion. It's another potential William Sanders masterpiece, I think.
Yes, once you do Angels in America, both parts, Osage County is very easy, I'm sure.
Relatively.
And I know from my experience, they had talked about doing it at Civic and for at least the past 4 or 5 years.
Yes.
And before I left the Lehigh Valley, I had, you know, crossed my fingers and hoped that they would do it while I was still here. It didn't work out, but I was fortunate enough to be able to come back up to do it.
Yes, we might mention that Pat Kelly, of course, has lived here in the Valley for a long time, and then he moved to Florida, and theater fell apart when he wasn't here, but we're pulling it back together now that he's now that he's back.
Pat, who are you playing in August?
I played Charlie Aiken, Uncle Charlie, husband to the lovely Maddie Faye, played by Sue.
Sitting
on my left here.
Yes. Yeah. And, well, maybe we'll come back to you two as an individual. Maybe start with a bigger picture. So you were saying it is a huge piece. It's 13 characters. You were saying this earlier, and I think that is interesting. It's written in a way that, commercial playwrights or commercial theater would claim can't work anymore. It's expensive. It's big. Am I right? My understanding was that Letts, of course, is an actor and a member of Steppenwolf, and an actor as well as a playwright. I have the impression he wrote this piece with that ensemble in mind, knowing that he had the actors, knowing that you have a big family to put on stage.
I would assume, you know, that was at least a big part of his approach to the material and bringing it to Steppenwolf to do. But again, I can't speak specifically to that. But, you know, it's a modern day, long day's journey with a sense of humor. It's really a very big, epic family story and a lot of characters, all of whom you get to know rather well in the course of the play, which is in and of itself, a very positive feat for a writer to make all the characters come to life in a way that actors are interested in playing them. I mean, there's plenty of scenery to chew in this play.
And even the smaller characters, like Sue was saying, you really get to know them. even and sometimes in the limited time that they are in the play and on stage. It's remarkable how much insight you do get into some of these smaller characters. But
so what really, I mean, it, without spoilers, without ruining it for anyone, I mean, the setup or the reason that we're meeting this family is we start with a couple, an older couple. If you could tell us a little about them, but I know that the, pretty quickly into the evening, he goes missing, which kind of starts to bring everyone home, and then things move from there. How does it open? Who are these two? What's the core of the story here?
Beverly was a writer, a pretty well-known, renowned poet at one point, an educator. I believe he taught poetry. It's mentioned in the script. Very private man. He seemed to, and correct me, Sue, if I'm wrong here, but he seemed to be very much in his own little world. I think he and his wife had a certain understanding between the two of each other. He functioned the way he needed to. She functioned the way she needed to. And they sort of coexisted in this house. Didn't seem to be, there was certainly a connection, a strong emotional connection, but you know, the question of whether it was based on love, certainly at the time, maybe it was, certainly one time it was, but that was their life. And at one point he decided to make a change or take a little break, and then that's where the mystery starts.
And as the play opens, she is ill. She's medicated and not healthy.
She is medicated. So she's and he's medicated as well in his own way. And it's
that's part of the agreement between them. They each have their own particular addictions, and they sort of accept that in one another. And I would also add that there is an element of the experience of their generation factoring and motivating behavior that, you know, is also part of the dysfunction of the family, that there are certain things from which neither of them has recovered. And it visits itself onto the children as well. And it's really about who's going to, you know, take on mom and take care of mom or be like mom or reject mom and what how, you know, how the shadow of Beverly hangs over all of them during the course of the play. Beverly is the father.
Right.
It's a woman's typically a woman's name, but it is the main male character is named Beverly Weston in the play.
And he are pretty well, again, most of the evening is not on stage. But it's interesting to me. I always loved the first description I think I ever read of the play talked about how marvelous it was that this kind of couple, you meet them, there's this kind of intense dynamic relationship in many ways and sad relationship, whatever. He goes missing and everything starts to move again. All this kind of everyone's take on everyone's relationships. And three and a half hours, is it? Over three.
With intermission,
Yeah, it's a lush and big.
But, God is willing, we make it soar the way it needs to, and the time just flies. When I saw it, I was like, that was 3.5 hours. I mean, really, it's also one of those pieces where dialogue overlaps, and it's really, it's a very fast-paced, you know, piece, and it's about people talking a lot and not necessarily listening to one another, which is also typical, unfortunately, in some families, and so... That's an aspect of the play that we've really had to work very hard to master in terms of how we're portraying things.
Yeah, and it's kind of exceptional because director Sanders also says that Tracy Letts' writing is really muscular writing. So it's heavy, it's strong, it moves fine, and just when you think it can't get more horrifying, it does.
It does. Just when you think that all the secrets have been revealed, you know, there's more to be uncovered, and that's one of the dynamics of the play. You just sit there and your mouth is open, and it's like, what?
And isn't it funny sometimes when we sit here and watch any piece, but probably this one as well, we can identify our family members with who are on the cast, the characters in the play.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's some of the cast members that I've heard them say, you know, a number of times, you know, I have a relative like that, or my cousin is like that, and or my sister or something like that, and yeah, it's family dynamics.
Absolutely,
you know?
Yeah,
crazier than probably most, but.
Also a very large dinner scene in the second act, which is quite a circus. And, you know, that's one of the things that makes the show difficult, too. Having food on stage, mm-hmm. doing a meal, as theater people, you know, that can be a nightmare. And it's really a challenge to do all that and to time it out. And we're having a pretty good time doing that dinner scene now. But in the beginning, it was a mountain to climb, boy, I'll tell you.
It's still a mountain, not as high as it once was. Yeah. But, you know, we get to the top and mm-hmm. we don't slide our way down.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't miss it. So.
I was going to ask her, I mean, I would think it had to be fascinating in terms of rehearsals. Again, it's fun to work with a larger cast, and given the commercial, again, restraints of modern theater, that is often rare. Did you rehearse longer? What did you do in terms of establishing that kind of family rhythm and dynamics? Interesting or odd or?
As far as the length of the rehearsal period, it might have been a week, maybe two, longer than most other shows. Okay. But one thing Bill let us do from the start was just feel things ourselves amongst ourselves. Mm-hmm. He didn't do any blocking. He didn't really, I won't say he didn't direct, but I mean that in the sense that he didn't come in with a certain kind of, you know, blueprint that he wanted us to follow.
Right.
And he let it really, you know, come out of us organically. And we established
mm-hmm.
the characters and our own relationships as actors within those characters, mm-hmm. You know, just on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. And
Because I know one danger in playing Maddie Faye for me that I was aware of from the very beginning is that she can very easily fall into caricature because she's big.
Mm-hmm.
She's big and she's brassy and she says kind of outrageous things. Mm-hmm. And Bill kept saying, I reminded him of his Aunt Ruth, I think it was, you know, at family dinners. And it was real important to just, you know, keep an intimacy with her that helped her to come out of me organically, whatever parts there are in me that, you know, hopefully not too many. I love Maddie Faye now, but she was a little tough to warm to in the beginning, and it's mostly because of the way she treats certain character in the play who shall remain nameless at this point.
There are other people in the cast, and I'd like to mention them. Now, I know many of them myself, but some of them I don't, so help me with, if I remember correctly, I know Becky Engborg is playing Violet.
Right.
And we've worked with Becky before, and she's just wonderful to work with. Also is a Gretchen First, mm-hmm. and of course, both of you, and Tom Anushko and Troy Brokenshire.
Right.
There's a Bill Joachim, is it?
Joachim.
Great. And
Bill's been in a lot of recent productions at Civic.
Oh,
he's become he's become a kind of a company player for the last couple of seasons.
Kirk Lawrence,
right.
And Jan?
Jan Labellarte, who's gracious enough to put me up while I'm up here.
That's where you're staying.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
we know, folks.
There we go.
Get your autographs over in Bethlehem if you're very quick at it. John Kuchar, Megan Gomez, mm-hmm. Merce Tone, of course, mm-hmm. And Meredith Lipson.
Right.
All of those people. That's a good cast, I'm sure.
It's a strong cast. It's a wonderful cast. And
do you find, I was just going to say, we're going to take a break in a moment, so without getting into anything too in-depth before that, I'm curious. I'm always fascinated by an actor turned playwright. Well, I don't know that he was an actor first and a playwright, but you know what I'm saying. Do you as actors feel a difference in the writing because of that, or feel like you can tell that is there a deeper understanding of what you need as actors, of a sense of rhythm or language or anything that's different to you? I mean, he's part of an ensemble himself, which has to be very powerful.
Well, my first reaction to the play, as I mentioned to you guys earlier, was that I was surprised at all of the don'ts that the play did on Broadway. It was 3.5 hours long. It was 3 acts. It was a messy family melodrama and a lot of comedy. That was sort of a surprise to me to sit there as a playwright, because it's all the things I'm not supposed to do as a playwright. I'm supposed to keep things spare. I'm mm-hmm. supposed to have 5 actors in my cast, blah, blah. But because the characterizations are so rich, there's just so much to mine there that as an actor or a playwright, you're constantly asking questions, and there's always plenty to plenty of choices.
Well, we're going to hear more of August Osage County. We're chatting with Pat Snieringer. I'm sorry. Yeah,
that's my sister.
And Sue Kelly.
Well, not yet. We haven't. I haven't proposed yet.
And we will be right back. Please keep that digital number and that ancient radio dial right there at 88.1. The family gossip continues right after this salient message.
WDIY is pleased to partner with the Zollner Arts Center, presenting the Lehigh University Jazz Repertory Orchestra with Randy Brecker, Saturday, March 2nd at 8 p.m. For information, 610-758-2787 or zollnerartscenter.org.
We're back, and actually our two guests left because I mixed up their names. But
we'll carry on.
It is Pat
more
Kelly
than that, George.
Yeah. Pat Kelly and Sue Snieringer, and they are cast members, certainly, of Civic Theater's really award-winning play directed by William Sanders, August Osage County, and we're so glad you're doing it. One of the things, can you share a little moment of rehearsal fun with us? Something in the rehearsal that happened that perhaps made all lightheartedness of what is going on within the cast?
Dinner. No, just kidding.
Dinner. Yeah, the dinner scene, the food fight that happened, maybe. Yeah.
Mixing up names is fun. I mean, like you just did. I have a line where I talk about little Ivy, little Charles. I just did it. Little Charles and Ivy. And instead of saying that, I said little Ivy and Charles.
Mm-hmm, okay.
And of course, you know, we bump into the furniture a lot. There's a fight scene. So that was kind of very challenging to stage that, to choreograph it, and to do it in a way that protects us and keeps us safe while we're doing that,
yeah.
But also helps us to recreate it in a way where it's really happening every night. And you as actors know that it's a fine line between, you know, directing things to the point where everybody knows what they're doing and keeping it real at the same time. Because mm-hmm. you can't walk into a scene like that and not know where everybody's supposed to be at any given moment. But things are still going to happen just in the moment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so we do our best to, you know, to make that look, you know, to keep that real and to also keep everybody safe. So those have been kind of some interesting challenges. And again, it's a long script. And I think the hardest thing about this play has been the rehearsals for it have been about learning when to talk.
Oh, really?
Because there is so much dialogue in the play where we talk over one another. Uh-huh. And it's like when you are at a family gathering,
very,
you
yeah.
know,
very
conversations
normal, yeah.
are happening all the time. Mm-hmm. And everybody's talking about different things
right.
at different times. And then a voice will rise and you realize, oh, that's supposed to take
that's
precedence
the focus.
Here. And then it's all about focus and it's all about timing. And, of course, a play this long, you have to keep it moving. But you also want – you don't want any of the story to be lost.
Yes.
So it's
yeah. –
It's been, you know, that's
sounds
been
like
a real challenge.
Like it's very symphonic, like as I'm about conducting it. Yeah,
that's exactly what it is, because some of those moments we have to take our time, and others we have to, like, keep it moving,
uh-huh.
keep it moving. And,
uh-huh.
you know, so it's, by playing with that, it's been really interesting.
I think it's really exciting, too. I just have to say, because it is such a large cast, and it also reminds me of the sounds with kind of novels I love, you know, the big, lush, kind of British Lost in It for a Week novel, because it is so much. It's so dense and so real. But it's a rare thing to see on stage anymore. And it's I would encourage audiences, a play like this is a rare opportunity these days, and to have it be done with a strong company, strong director, strong cast. I mean, really, 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 really an exciting opportunity. And you open Friday? Friday the 1st, yeah?
Yes, we do.
Come one, come all.
And maybe if we're lucky in years from now, Tracy Letts will write maybe December Osage County. And then we
sure.
Oh, God.
We'll
we can
revisit
all come
the family.
Yeah, if everyone survives.
I would like to talk a little bit more about some things that are upcoming at Civic Theater. And that, of course, is Next to Normal, the Tony Award-winning musical by Brian Yorkey and Tom Kilp. I understand there are auditions that are going to occur just about any moment. Is that right?
Monday,
right.
actually.
Yeah.
Monday?
Monday the 11th Monday, yeah.
mm-hmm.
at 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And I am assuming that will be upstairs in our rehearsal space.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The big red door
yes.
to the left as you're facing the 19th Street Theater.
Yeah.
Bill Sanders will be directing that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Callbacks will be next Wednesday. We have a little bit of info here. Anything that we're talking about, too, of course, we can always, you know, there's a fabulous website for Civic Theater.
Right.
You can always call
right.
the box office, check the website.
Yeah, check the website.
Because there's always the films and the theater, the school. There's so much going on.
Yeah, we have a silent film, a Harold Lloyd film coming on the 12th, March 12th. We did one in the last spring, and it was a huge success. Theater
yeah,
was packed.
Yeah, yeah.
And we have a live organist who plays an accompaniment with the action on screen. It's a joy to watch this man play the organ. And we have a big old pipe organ that's, you know, 100 years old practically. And then we're also doing an Irish concert again this year. We're doing the Glengarry Boys on the 14th. Mm-hmm. And all that information about all of that is on our website.
Great. And, of course, I would like to mention the Civic Theater School for young people. They're doing the Little Mermaid in April.
Right.
So we encourage all families to get out and see that.
Yes.
But again, I just have to, I mean, for me, this is really exciting. I know Tracy Letts is also, I don't know, I don't think anything else, has anything else of Letts been done in the Valley? I know I'm a big fan of Man from Nebraska. I know Bug was, who did Bug? Someone did Bug?
They did it at Lehigh.
Okay.
One of the fellows who worked in Man of No Importance at Civic was in that, I believe.
But he's a wonderful playwright. He just has a wonderful voice.
He's a pretty good actor, too.
See, I haven't seen him perform. Have you seen him?
I saw Virginia Woolf. And Amy Morton. Amy Morton played the oldest sister in August Osage County when I saw the play, and she's my new Culling Dewhurst. She's my theater goddess in terms of acting. And so I was anxious to see her in Virginia Woolf, but Tracy Letts was a revelation as an actor in that play, playing George. And again, another three-act, big play, those kinds of things. And Steppenwolf brought it to Broadway, and... but I was very impressed with him as an actor. And I think, you know, I've worn all those different hats. I've built sets, and I've directed plays, and I've written plays, and I've acted in plays. And it's like all of it infuses, you know, each role infuses the other in terms of helping you do each one better, more completely. And he clearly is a man who knows how to write for actors, because he can get up there and trod the boards with the best of them.
Mm. And his father acted as well.
Yes, in fact, he wrote Beverly for his father, I believe.
And then he played the role of Beverly up until he got too sick to perform.
Really?
Yeah, we saw him. We saw the play just after his father had passed away, which was a year ago. No, it was February 2008.
Yeah.
So, the role was a tribute. He's dedicated it to him, and it's, you know, it's a tribute to him. And he wrote that role for him to play.
Wonderful. Pat, we have to ask you, what are you doing when you leave the Lehigh Valley and go back to Florida?
Actually, I'm
Georgia.
Georgia. I'm sort of on my way back to Pennsylvania, so I went from Florida to Georgia. I'll be back in Georgia, just working like I usually work, auditioning for whatever I can. And
having some peach pie.
Having peach pie.
Oh, really?
Yes, of course. Georgia peaches.
We're going to miss you, naturally, of course. We have the theater
world. He says find a role for him.
You know my number.
Apparently he'll commute.
Who knew? Yeah.
I don't mind.
Get on the plane that he has. He has a private plane. He flies up here.
It's called the station wagon.
Man, the myth, the legend.
That's what I'll be doing.
Good. We hope that you'll be back at least. And Sue, have you any big plans to after August Osage County?
Go visit Pat. No.
you're going to Georgia with Pat.
I've got a lot of writing to do this year. Just some things that I'm doctoring. I'm working on another draft of my Centralia screenplay and those kinds of things. And
Several of your plays have been produced here in the Lehigh.
A couple, shorter plays. Sure. I'm hoping to get, something else done soon. But I'm working on a new play, actually, about a 60s band, reuniting after 40-plus years. And about an experience of growing up in the 60s, and I had to go back and revisit it, and I'm still in the process of researching it. It's so much fun to go back to that decade and revisit a lot of things I didn't remember and a lot of things I didn't experience at all. So it's been a real education just to, you know, go back and...
And that sounds like it would be in my age range.
Mm-hmm. And you play the guitar, though.
I'll work on that.
Oh, I thought you were more of World War I.
You need
War
more
I
than a kazoo, my dear.
Thank you, George. And you're what? Civil War? Okay. All right.
Well, it's been great, absolutely great chatting with you both and seeing you again. And we cannot tell our radio audience how important it is to support the arts in the Lehigh Valley, and the Civic Theater certainly deserves your attention after 80 years of producing theater and film. So Osage County is a very important play by Tracy Letts. It's an award-winning play. It plays from March 1st to March 10th at Civics 19th Street Theater, and we hope that you'll be there. We have special thanks to our protector of digital blips and coughing spells on the air, our sound engineer who digitally improves our radio voice, as you are now hearing it. We thank you, Steve Aronson, very much.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening. You. This is, of course, DIY.